Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. I mean, it's hard to believe the Packers have not beaten the Lions since the end of the 2016 season. 0-4. Now, three of those games, Rodgers wasn't there. 1 year with a collarbone. And then, of course, last December, Joe Philbin, interim head coach. They just come off a really nice road win, their only road win, in that overtime win over the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers had said leading up to that week, we've got to get this win on the road. So some of these guys like Marquez Valdes-Scantling and, you know, some of the Jair Alexander, these guys know what it feels like to go home on a plane with a win because everything else had been a loss. You know, it was a psychological thing, and Rodgers played like a little sandlot football. I think Philbin just let him call all the plays in the game, and he beat out Sam Darnold and got a win. But the very next week, he goes down with a concussion, and it was one of the worst performances from the Green Bay Packers I've ever seen in 30 years of doing this at Lambeau Field. And Tremont Williams essentially said they quit. He couldn't believe, you know, well, we just didn't seem to have the energy today, which was basically like, Philbin's not going to get this job. Half of us don't know if we've got jobs coming back. I'm not going to get hurt. And they just let the Lions roll over them 31-0.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to ask you, because coming into this contest, there's some questions health-wise. You heard from Brian Bulaga a little bit earlier. Devonta Adams doesn't think he's going to play in this upcoming game. Talks about his injuries. They're right now, they're a little bit nicked up coming into this one.
Yeah, actually, Matt LaFleur officially ruled him out at the last press conference he had this weekend here in Green Bay. And I had a chance to talk to Devonta because he talked about how painful this turf toe was. And I said, did you think maybe in that Eagles game 2.5 weeks ago that you had broken your right big toe?
I mean, I had no idea what it was. I just knew I was in pain and obviously unable to, you know, push off of it and do anything at the moment, and which was almost scary at the time because you don't really know what the deal is. But I'm so used to getting to the sideline and being able to just, you know, go push through a little bit, throw some tape on something. Every time I've hurt my ankle, I continue to play that game. So for me to have to actually tell myself I couldn't finish that game, it sucked, and I didn't want to believe it. I kept trying to, you know, see if I could do something as we went along. There's things I can do, but we'll keep a lot of that in-house right now. But, you know, I could move around on it, but it's not, like I said, me moving around on it and feeling like it's feeling better that day or not in pain just sitting there is a lot different than having to break tackles and cut and release and things like that.
Now, they got things done differently in the game against Dallas, though, Mike. I mean, when you look at the tight end and the inclusion of the tight ends and the running backs, Aaron Jones, huge day, not only coming out of the backfield as a runner, but as a receiver as well, one of the things he worked on this offseason.
He ended up being the leading receiver in the game, which was so odd. 19 carries, 7 receptions. And part of the thing was, and as you were talking to Paul Innig there, you know, the way LaFleur adapted the plan for what the opponent was going to give you. They have tremendous respect for the Cowboys linebackers, Van Der Esch and the veteran Sean Lee. Those guys, particularly the way they went, you know, from sideline to sideline. So why try and run into that buzzsaw with your outside zone? Just take it to them right up the middle. And even though Corey Linsley went down early in the game with a concussion and you had to put in Lucas Patrick at backup center, they were still able to run Aaron Jones up the A gaps in the inside zone at place, which was just tremendous, over 100 yards rushing. And then they put him out there as a weapon. Get the ball in Aaron Jones' hands. He's your best weapon as a ball carrier. Now the question is, whoa, wait a minute, though. You know, it's not like this guy should have 25 touches every week because it's a long season. You're going to need him when the weather changes in November and December, particularly these games at Lambeau or maybe on the road, and you don't want to wear this guy out, a guy who's had a couple of MCLs, missed part of training camp with a hamstring. And so I asked him, what did it mean to be, you know, the leading receiver in that big game against the Cowboys?
I think it just shows that we have another weapon on the field. They just can't key in on one person. They have another weapon on the field. It opens up the offense to other things. They can't just key on one person. They have to focus on other people as well.
I know you're asked this 1,000 times, but you had this great performance in 25 carries last week, and yet people will say, oh, you know, it's a long season. Don't wear out the running back. What's your feeling about it?
I play running back position. I can take the hits. I can take the load. I've been playing running back my whole life, so I feel like it's something I can do. And the most important thing at the end of the day is getting the win.
Are there things you're trying to do to try and lessen the blows?
Just not take as many big hits. I feel like that's something I do a good job of, avoiding the big hit, finding where it's going to come from. And also the O-linemen do a good job of pushing the pile, keeping me kind of clean. You see that happen a lot. They'll come push the pile. We don't have a lot of bend backs, things like that. So it's a testament to them as well.
And if Jamal is in the lead or Danny, that helps out too when it comes to the linebackers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's one less person you really got to worry about. They're eliminated in that linebacker. You know, you see him in front of you, but you know he's not going to affect the play because Danny's going to take him out of there.
Now, the 49ers' execution of this offense, it's the Kyle Shanahan offense, essentially. It's just spectacular right now. And when I've noticed them, like last week in their game against the Browns, how well their fullback was leading. Now, he's out with an injury, but how often they use their fullback to lead on their block, and then they would do those triple fakes in the back. I don't know if Danny Vitale has lived up to that. The good news is that, you know, you get Jamal Williams back, and certainly he could be more of a power back or lead the block for Aaron Jones when they're trying to take it up the middle tonight.
And the big thing, Mike, not only with the running game, but even with the passing game, is ball security because, I know Matt LaFleur talked about it, but this team, this Lions team, there is an opportunistic team as much as the Green Bay Packers live and die with some of these turnovers. The Lions have really been able to garner turnovers this season as well.
Yeah, do you remember, you know, when Lovie Smith was running the Bears and Charles Pena Tillman was out there at corner and how good he was at stealing a football from James Jones?
Yep.
Or
punching it
guys
out.
Guys like that after that? Yeah, punching it out. Well, I was just, my jaw dropped. I could not believe how good the Lions' defensive backs were, like Justin Coleman, Quandre Diggs. I mean, you know, they knew that they were the underdogs going against the Chiefs, and if the Chiefs had a reception, they were there to punch the ball first. It was just outstanding. And I don't know if it's Paul Pasquale, the new defensive coordinator or something that Matt Patricia, the head coach, has put in, but they were doing it better since since Pena Tillman was doing it. And I asked LaFleur about this. I said, have you guys talked about this week? Has that been a point of emphasis?
That's been a huge point of emphasis. They're as good as any team I've seen on tape. It shows up all over their film. Not only in that Kansas City game, but in the Philly game, there were a bunch of times where they were able to get the ball out as well. And you know, they do a really good job. You can tell they emphasize that. They're well coached. And again, those players, they got talented guys that kind of bring it to life.
They're really solid at creating turnovers. And that's the one thing that the Packers have not done is turn the ball over. Maybe something gives tonight. I hope the Packers don't start turning it over. But on Monday Night Football, man, you try to give that little extra effort. You try to do that little extra thing, and suddenly you find yourself putting the ball on the turf. But Monday Night Football, Mike, we were just talking about this a little while ago. It's kind of a standalone thing. You still have all the peers kind of glaring down on you. You know what I mean? Even though it's lost its luster, the old Monday Night Football type of feel, it's still Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and also, you know, there's the Lambeau Field mystique a little bit. Matthew Stafford was asked that a couple times from the Detroit meeting. He said, yeah, but you know what? We're not playing Lambeau Field. We're playing the Packers. I have to tell the young guys that because they walk into the stadium and they got their jaws open and wow, and they see Reggie White's name up there and Brett Favre. It's like, you know, just forget about the stadium, man. Focus on the team because we got a tough team to beat. But one thing about these Lions that, again, in that Chiefs game, they could have, should have won that game. The Chiefs ended up having to march down the field with 2 minutes to put it away. And that was the Lions hung in there, even though their defensive backs were dropping with injuries like flies. Now, Darius Slay, he's had 2 weeks. He's had a hamstring. He wouldn't talk about it to reporters. He talked about his respect for Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers was asked about, you know, what does he see? They've got a new defensive coordinator. What does he see in the kind of schemes that they're running with the defense in Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, they're very well coached. Obviously, that lineage they have, they don't necessarily hang their hat on one specific defense the entire season. You know, they're going to adjust according to their own personnel and who they're playing and try and take away what you do well every single week. And much like we've seen going against the Patriots over the years. I think Coach is a fantastic mind. And, you know, they obviously have some great players. They added some guys to the mix, pass rushers. I think, you know, they got some young guys in the secondary playing well. You know, it's a very good defense. They've, you know, played four games with a bye, you know, only lost to Kansas City, who's obviously, you know, started off the season really well. And you know, on the other side of the ball, obviously they got a great quarterback and Matt and some playmakers. And, you know, we haven't beat them in a couple of years, so it's going to be a good test for us.
There you go. That's Aaron Rodgers. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens on the line, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us. Don't go anywhere. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show getting you ready for Monday Night Football right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I think when you're as old as I am and you played in this league for so long, when you're also a lover of the game and a historian of the game and you grew up watching, you know, Frank, Al, and Dan on Monday Night Football and John Madden and Al Michaels on Monday Night Football and Dennis Miller when he was there, and you're loving the history of the opportunity to play on Monday Night Football, it's a special thing. It's fun playing at home, obviously. It's better. It's long days, Sunday and Monday for sure. And a short week the following week, but it is always special playing on Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football between the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions gets underway this evening. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mike and I are going to be heading down to Super Bowl this year. Compliments of our friend Sean and a whole crew over at Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Getting Wisconsin home and business owners Epoxy Flooring Coating and services, reasonable prices. They do great quotes. They do incredible work. And if you haven't seen Sean's stuff yet, it's amazing. Not to mention the room that you have done with the floor. They will paint that room for free, and it's a lifetime warranty. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com. Also, our friends at booksignature.com, Signature Limo, one of the nation's leading ground transportation providers. You can check out my friends Pat and Brooke over there. They're first-class staff. They're small enough to know your name, big enough to handle your every need. Go to booksignature.com. That's booksignature.com. So, Mike, Monday Night Football is still special to the quarterback just from the memories of that, you know, that early, you know, on essence of Monday Night Football, even though it's morphed into many different things. But you're still, you know, all your peers are going to be watching you, and that's what guys really appreciate that actually play the game.
It's prime time. It's under the lights. It's a fun atmosphere, no question about it. And tonight, a guy is going to be returning to action that had an incredible consecutive snap streak broken. Corey Linsley, you know, we talk about you talk about the offensive line. You see how the Cowboys lost last week and again yesterday the Jets. Well, you know, you take out your starting right tackles, that changes your world. And I don't know what the Green Bay Packers would do if Bakhtiari and Bulaga were both out at the same time. We've seen a little bit of Alex Light, and he's average at best. So, but we even have to think about the center position because Corey Linsley, Rob Domofsky looked this up over the weekend. Corey has not missed a snap since 2016, like over 2,700 consecutive snaps. So in that game against Dallas, he goes down early in the game, and it was a concussion. Now, you know, any of us that played football remember having your bell rung. He said that he actually went down for a second series, but the equipment manager for the Packers, longtime equipment manager, Red Batty, said, you know, your chin strap broke. That's probably what had happened to you because you didn't, your helmet wasn't secure. And Corey talked to us about when he knew it was a concussion and not just having his bell rung in Dallas last week.
Yeah, it was honestly just like a hit. I mean, I think everybody's got their bell rung. It was just, I went back in, it was on the second drive, the touchdown, and it wasn't a big hit at all. It was just, you know, I'm a bell rung. We saw it at, Red said my chin strap broke, so it was, you know, that could have played into it, just like how my helmet wasn't on correctly and whatever, but regardless, I went in the next drive and, you know, I couldn't focus, and I was certainly light sensitivity, but I also got nauseous, and I really never get nauseous during games, so that kind of freaked me out. So I went in there, and the headache started pounding and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's what happened. It was kind of an everything. It was kind of a freak thing, but, you know, I'm glad that it was what it was and not, you know, something worse.
Were there symptoms for the next couple of days?
Yeah, but I'm obviously symptom-free now, so I'm all good. But, yeah, it was, but we, you know, worked through it. followed the protocol and followed everything that the trainers said to do, and yeah, I was good to go.
Have you had concussions before?
I've only had one my freshman year in high school, and I felt the similar kind of like head pounding thing, which was part of the reason why I was freaked out by it.
When you say symptoms, you
just like headache, light sensitivity, nauseous, you know, fatigue, obviously, and dizziness, but that lasted for probably a day and a half afterwards, and I was ready to go. Yeah.
That's good to get him back, and the fact that he recognized all the you know, the signs, Mike, I guess is the best way to put it. Another guy that they're going to be hurting without and who's really impressed is Darnell Savage Jr.
Yeah, Corey tonight, though, he's going to have to go up against one of the biggest defensive linemen in the National Football League. It's a guy that the Lions GM, Bob Quinn, had picked up last year from the Giants, and that's Damon Harrison, Snacks Harrison, 6'3", 353 pounds. He actually became one of the best run stuffers last year for the Lions and off to an okay start this year. I mean, he takes up two blockers, and so Corey's going to have to block him on his first night back.
You know, obviously he's a big dude, but, you know, there are a lot of big dudes that don't have the effect that he does. So I think he's, you know, he's obviously athletic, especially for a big guy. And, you know, he's just good at what he does. You know, he's a two-gapper. He uses his hands well and moves laterally well. So, yeah, I mean, those are all things that make him one of the top guys.
He's a beast. That guy's the only guy I know that can walk to the back of a Metro bus and make it do a wheelie down the street.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a big boy.
No, he sees one of those food catering trucks and says, oh, look, lunch.
Yeah, and then ate the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I go back to that defense. I was talking about Darnell Savage Jr. I got a little bit ahead of myself there, but he's got that ankle rehab going on. They've got some injuries, defensively speaking. We know that. Obviously, Devontae Adams not going to play in this one. How much does it hurt not to have him in the – I mean, we're talking about a young guy. We're talking about a rookie here. How much does it hurt not to have him in the lineup?
Quite a bit because of his speed, and the kid has done so well to start off. But he went down early in the Cowboys game, and he's been spending the whole last week. He's out. He's officially out tonight with Devontae Adams. Also, tight end Robert Tonyan is not going to be playing tonight. And we asked Darnell Savage Jr., you know, about what's been going on with his rehab with this right ankle.
I'm just listening to what those guys telling me, just trying to do my rehab best I can and just trying to be a professional. So just working on it day by day, icing it, taking care of it, stuff like that.
That's all you can do, man.
So the guy who filled in for him and did pretty good, you know, you just get your opportunity, is this Will Redmond guy who just kept on ascending and ascending through training camp, a guy that they picked up off the street in the last year, last December, and a guy that I kind of been talking to because I thought his special teams stuff was sticking out. After Tony Brown has been gone now for the last couple of weeks with a hamstring injury, you saw number 25. And so he jumped in there. They put him in the safety position last week, and he did a pretty good job. I mean, he had like over 50 snaps in the game. He had 20 on special teams and 9 tackles. And I asked Will, you know, what was the key to, you know, holding the fort together last week, even though they gave up 24 points to the Cowboys in the second half. What was the key to holding the fort in Dallas?
Biggest thing is playing fast. You know what's coming. Proper preparation. Preparing like you're the number one guy. You never know what's going to happen. Just preparing every day and doing the right thing and being in the right place. So when it's your time, you know, you be ready.
That's all you can do. I mean, when you talk about this defense with the depth that they've had, we were concerned about the defense coming into the season because had your frontline starters go down, what would this defense end up looking like? And it seems like right now, you know, knock on wood, that guys are performing when they're being called upon.
And the other thing about this is just the leadership question, the vocal leadership. And, you know, Mike Daniels used to speak up and Clay, but it's like night and day. I mean, Zadarius and Preston Smith, and, you know, we only use them in the same sentence. They like this Smith Brothers thing. Every time they talk to us, and we had to wait to the very end of the last locker room this weekend, but they came out because they were, you know why? Because they're doing all these network interviews now.
Right.
They're the story. They're the cover of the Wheaties box, man. They're the front page of Sports Illustrated on what's really happening in Green Bay right now. It's Zadarius Smith from the Ravens. It's Preston Smith from the Redskins. It turns out these guys have known each other for about 6 or 7 years. And I said to them, you guys were pretty quiet. I mean, you're these two new free agents. I thought you were just learning and playing low, flying under the radar. And then it wasn't until after that game in Chicago when they upset and beat the Bears. Then they came out and they started talking. And they have just taken over that locker room because of their presence, because of their play on the field and the way they carry themselves. And I said, was the Bears game the turning point when you guys said you're going to plant your flag and say, we're in charge now?
From that game, I felt like we knew that way before when we was what? OTAs, and we was causing havoc and just being ourselves. So I felt like that never was the approach.
Yeah, and I felt like guys, when we came in early in OTAs, getting to know these guys, guys had the right mindset to be great and to go out there and work hard and play for each other. There was no selfishness from the day we walked in. You always hear guys talk about being team this, team that. Let's do this as a group. It was always as a group and as a team and as a unit that we could work together to, you know, accomplish the same goal. So we knew in OTAs when we was working together, we was clicking so early. Without, you know, with so many new faces and getting familiar with this system and stuff, we was clicking, and it was just a lot of energy brought to the practices. Then we knew it was going to be a great defense.
Where did you guys, would you say you learned your leadership skills from?
Well, I'm a guy that got my degree in community leadership and development. So, just to have that, you know, going through our school, you know, I learned a lot about leadership and to get a chance to go to Baltimore and be around some legendary people, man, like Terrell Suggs. I think it all worked hand in hand, and I'm glad I had that in my back pocket to bring along with me here in Green Bay.
From experience and watching guys growing up, you know, playing against, you know, older guys and older vets and playing with those guys, you know, the best leader is a follower, a good follower. You know, for you to be a great leader, you have to know how to follow, too. So, you know, we're open when we're here. We talk to the guys, so we make sure that everything can be tabled if there's ever a problem. We talk about everything. If we feel like it's an issue, we talk about it as a team. We bring the guys up. We meet up about it, and we talk about it. We come together as a team, so it's never like, oh, this guy's talking about this, and he doesn't like that. Isn't that? So if it's something we all disagree on or we all don't like, we talk about it as a team, and we come together, and we get it handled as a team. So it's never like nobody being left out or somebody being left to hang out by themselves or do anything alone.
And, Mike, this is a defense that's going to have to face a Darrell Bevell offense in which he really kind of believes in the run. I mean, in some cases, Darrell Bevell, it kind of plays into his hands because the Packers haven't been great against the run. But Matthew Stafford is prone to give it up a little bit, and Bevell's kind of changed his play calling style a little bit, right?
He has. And, you know, Darrell Bevell, the Badgers quarterback, the quarterback coach under Sherman with the Packers, became friends with Favre. He was Favre's offensive coordinator when Favre had that run with the Vikings. He was Russell Wilson's offensive coordinator when they won the Super Bowl. And Darrell has come in and said, look, we got these weapons like Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones, who's always hurt the Packers on some big plays. And you got Kerryon Johnson as a steady running back. But you got to get Matthew Stafford some pass protection. So he's getting better pass protection from the tackles, Taylor Decker and Ricky Wagner. And Matthew Stafford was asked, has your pass pro improved?
Yeah, I think obviously that's a big part of the game, keeping the quarterback upright. Our guys do a great job fighting tooth and nail to make sure I'm upright, our guys on the outside, getting open on time. Bev, you know, obviously creating a game plan that's working for us. Those guys feel comfortable in it. I feel comfortable in it. Each week is kind of a new challenge. You know, sometimes it's interior rusher, sometimes it's outside rusher, sometimes it's everybody. You know, it's just one of those things you got to deep dive every single week and figure out how you're going to, you know, execute in the pass game. And our guys have done a nice job up front, which is great.
Mike, anything else, buddy, before we get out of the studio and start heading to Lambeau Field?
No, I just think it's going to be a heck of a fun game, man. It's going to be a dangerous game. The Lions are rested. You know, you hope they're a little rusty, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to figure out a way to, you know, pull this thing through tonight. And how amazing would that be to be 5-1?
I'll see you in just a little bit, and we'll get up to Lambeau.
All right, pal.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Mike Clemens, our NFL insider, Green and Gold insider. He is brought to you all the time by our friends at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening in Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Visit them at paysbig.com. As a matter of fact, if you're looking for a good place also down in that area, go over to the Fire Pit Sports Bar and Grill. They'll have the game on tonight, too. They got some good food. You can stop in there and check it out. That's Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. We'll wrap it up before we head to Lambeau next.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.